Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast presented by Overdrive. If you're not following us on social already, we're on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at ProBookNerds. And of course, you can send an email to us at professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com. Of course, you can also rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you do your listening. That kind of engagement really helps share our podcast with people who, just like you, want a few more titles on their TBR. Today's episode is a fun one. We are celebrating Read an Ebook Day today. Today is Thursday, September 14th, and this coming Monday, September 18th, is Read an Ebook Day. We love this holiday here at Overdrive, and we want to celebrate with you. So join Emma and I and our friends at Overdrive as we share what we'll be taking time to read on Monday the 18th for Read an Ebook Day. Share with us on social media and use hashtag ebooklove to let us know what you will be enjoying this day. It's our celebration of modern storytelling.
It's our favorite holiday of the year. We will be celebrating at Overdrive for several days in a row with lots of great books and coffee and pastries. So we would love to hear from you if you are celebrating. As Joe said, let us know what you are reading, and we cannot wait to see how long your TBR is after you listen to this episode.
And now let's get into those title recommendations.
Happy reading.
Well, Laura, do you want to start us off by telling us a little bit about what you'll be reading on Read an Ebook Day?
So I am excited to read Riley Sager's new The Only One Left. This is his newest, and it is... It looks so twisted, and I am anticipating so many turns and who did it. I was kind of creeping on the details and looking at just a little background for it. And the first thing that stuck out, they have a quote from the book, and it's a little poem that Riley includes about the main character. One of the main characters is Lenora Hope, and she's in this... the setting is this old house, and it's kind of set in like 1983. And this house is on the edge of the cliff, and Lenora lives there. And Lenora was accused of murdering her family. So right away, I'm like, I'm all in. And the little rhyme that Riley includes is, at 17, Lenora Hope hung her sister with a rope, stabbed her father with a knife, took her mother's happy life. It wasn't me, Lenora said, but she's the only one not dead. So just a little background. But this woman has to go take care of Lenora because she is, she's homebound. She can only move, I think it's her left hand. And she uses a typewriter to communicate. So this, our lead character protagonist is Kit. And I am a sucker for a strong woman, which totally draws me to all of Riley's books. And here we have another strong woman who's faced with a difficult decision. She has to take this job as a caregiver. So she's taking this position to go care for Lenora as her kind of bedside nurse. And she kind of doesn't have a choice. It's the last position she can take, and she needs this job. Of course, everything that, you know, happens after, you have a very sadistic, strange maid, housekeeper that kind of runs the estate. And you know something is off with all of these characters, but if you can figure it out before the end, I give you kudos, because I never can with Riley's books.
His twists are so good. And I think you can come up with a couple options every time, but I don't think you'll ever get it right.
No, or maybe you'll guess one twist, but you won't guess what comes next.
You won't guess the twist or the ones that come after it. I love the cast of characters, like the kind of oddball chef and the very 80s housekeeper who's just got 1,000 resin bangles on as she moves about the building. Or even the idea of how they all have to wear a uniform. It doesn't matter that Lenora isn't going about the house. She's not going outside. She's not leaving. But everything has to be that kind of austere, prim and proper.
Yeah, except the handsome groundskeeper, of course, who's just like hunky and aloof on the grounds, perfect for Kit to fall for or not.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a Riley Sager without a hunky fill in the blank.
Yeah, honestly, though, like the hunky neighbor, the groundskeeper.
Mm-hmm. We
do like that he has some sort of like some tropes he adheres to.
We love Riley on the pod, and I'm pretty sure we saw a comment like that on Goodreads, and Emma and I have been joking about it behind the scenes where someone's like, oh, well, here comes the hunky groundskeeper. You know, check that on your bingo card. I'm like, yeah, I love that. You can say that it's all the negatives you want. That's my favorite.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so glad that we are kicking off this episode with this pick because this is one of our favorite books of the year. So I think this will make a perfect read for Read Any Book Day. You'll certainly be captivated.
Yes, I agree.
Well, thank you so much, Laura, for coming to share what you are planning to read for Read an eBook Day. It's been a delight hearing what you're looking forward to with Riley Sakers, the only one left.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Quentin, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. What are you going to be reading on Read an eBook Day?
Morning. I'm going to be reading Yumi and the Nightmare Painter, which is one of Brandon Sanderson's secret books from the massive Kickstarter that like broke all the records. I've been kind of steadily reading those as they come out, so with kids I haven't had a chance to finish that one yet, and I'm excited to read it. It's about like it's hard to describe. I haven't been reading the synopsis and I'm not very far in, so there's two planets that are somehow connected by two people that have some sort of magical powers, and they are able. One hunts down nightmares, which become these corporeal things, and he uses art to capture them and control them and protect people of the city. But he's basically considered an essential worker and is paid like garbage, which is an interesting premise. And the other one is like the chosen one on another planet, and she summons these spirit things that are used for energy and just general like light. On this planet that is superheated to the point where people have to find ways of keeping off the ground, and the plants have evolved to kind of float in the air. So it paints a very interesting scene and is very original and just, it's pretty. And the narrator is, definitely flawed, and that makes it a good time too. So,
it's so pretty. Like I just pulled up. This cover is beautiful.
Oh, man, the artwork is beautiful.
Wow.
All of the secret novels have had these very cool like artists attached to them, and all the art is very, very cool.
There's illustrations throughout. That's so cool. Yeah. I really like this kind of like 3D color usage that they do with the pink and the different blues that makes everything super dimensional. And just getting to see it because I'm so used to books being black and white. And so it's very cool that color is used throughout on kind of like the chapter pages. And wow, that's really nifty. Okay, this looks sick.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you can tell Brandon Sanderson, who's one of my favorite authors, just like really decided to have fun with these books and got artists that he liked. And he's like, draw me pictures that match my book. It's very cool.
How many of the are in the Secret Project series or so far?
I believe there's four total and there's three released. This is the third one. They've all been excellent. Just really, really good. Really fun.
The Frugal Wizard's Handbook for Surviving Medieval England. That's so funny.
That one was the art in there was very pretty, but also like funny. It had like little illustrations, like kind of Hitchhiker Guide-esque. That one was really fun. All the stories have been very original, and he clearly took risks that he wouldn't take normally. And I think it really paid off. It's cool to see like a really talented author like that just cut loose and write for himself. Yeah.
It's also cool to see this kind of change in pace that, you know, this is Kickstarter led, that we're looking at a different approach to kind of like writing for your audience and publishing overall compared to the like, right, Brandon Sanderson is successful already. It's not a difficult world for him to put out a project like this.
Right.
But to know that it's, you know, like the description for Yumi and the Nightmare Painter starts off with from the number one Kickstarter campaign of all time. Like just seeing that listed is really cool. It's fun to see things start changing, shake up.
As a book nerd, it makes me happy to no end that it was an author in a series of books that broke all those Kickstarter records. I believe he still holds them all too.
Better.
Yeah. Because like it was the fastest, it was like the fastest goal hit, and it was the highest sum, I believe, if I recall correctly. And yeah, that's just awesome because I love books, and books just dominated Kickstarter there.
That's awesome. I love that.
This is so cool. And every time you come on the podcast, you remind me that I need to read something by Brandon Sanderson. And I have not done it yet, but he has a bunch of his series on graphic audio. So I think that's going to be where I check out his stuff. But I did not know about this Kickstarter. So that is so cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. I of course supported it. So, he had digital, like he had all the packages, like you could do digital, you could do print, and I wanted to do the print, but it was very, very expensive. And I'm like, I love you, Brandon Sanderson, but
but we'll support digitally.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, yeah. Quentin, thank you for joining us and for sharing what you'll be reading on Read an eBook Day.
Of course. Happy to share. I hope you guys check it out. It's good stuff.
Oh, definitely. Tiffany, welcome. What are you going to be reading on Read an eBook Day?
I am hoping to start The Eighth Life by Nino Haratishvili. She is a Georgian author, the country of Georgia. And I think this came out almost 10 years ago now. And it's a tome. It's, I think, close to 1,000 pages. Something about like a chocolate recipe and then generational stories. It looks to be a big undertaking, but everyone who's ever recommended it to me was like, it's absolutely worth it.
The cover is beautiful.
It is.
I love the sound of that as well. We love an intergenerational storyline. Like,
yeah.
A chocolate recipe. Now I'm thinking of chocolat. I'm chocolat, aging myself.
Chocolate, chocolate, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, and I love both of those stories. So I'm hoping maybe, you know, some of those
that it kind of like fits.
Will. Exactly. So looking forward to it. And it's in translation too. So I feel like that lets me check a box as well.
I love literature and translation. There is something so cool to see how books transform when you take it from an original language to another. Ugh.
Absolutely. I feel translators are just kind of magic beings. They make magic happen with the language. It's awesome.
They are a different breed, that's for sure.
This sounds incredible. So if you are also looking for a historical family saga, generational with recipes in translation, you should also read The Eighth Life. Like Tiffany.
Be my reading buddy on Read an eBook Day.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Tiffany.
Thank you.
Abby, welcome. Do you want to tell us what you're reading for Read an eBook Day?
Yes, I am very excited because I hit what I like to call the library lottery, which means that I got an ebook and an audiobook come available on hold at the same time. So I checked both versions out. So now instead of listening to one and reading the other and constantly wishing that I didn't have to stop what I was doing to switch back over, I can now read and then pick up where I left up on the audiobook. And I am doing the new Karen Slaughter After That Night, which is part of her Will Trent series. And I've recently been reinvigorated by the Will Trent series because of the TV show. So I'm really excited to read it and listen to it and drink my coffee because Overdrive's so wonderful and gives us free coffee on Read an Ebook Day. So it's going to be wonderful.
Yes, we're dying for the new Karen Slaughter. Like, oh.
Yay. What a classic. I feel like Read an Ebook Day staple author. We love Karen Slaughter. I'm so glad you mentioned the latest Will Trent.
Yes, and you are both going to have to wait because I have a monopoly on both the ebook and the audiobook. So I would say I'm sorry, but I just am not.
That's okay. We don't respect the win.
You won the lottery.
I did.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Abby, so much for letting us know what you plan to read on Read an Ebook Day.
Thank you both for having me. This is my favorite part about working at Overdrive, is being a guest on this podcast.
Yay.
We love to hear it.
Jinx. Oh, but now incentive to make sure you come back for another episode upcoming.
Yes, please.
Oh, wonderful. I will.
Thanks, Abby.
Chuck, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So excited to hear about the book you'll be reading on Read an Ebook Day. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I am excited to read 101 Horror Books to Read Before You're Murdered by Mother Horror herself, Sadie Hartman. Sadie is, I'm not as big on the social media as I probably should be, but she is very big on book reviews. I think she's on Instagram and what used to be known as Twitter and TikTok. I'm not even sure. She's everywhere. And what I didn't know was this book just dropped. Like, I think it just came out like August 8th. I was looking for it. I was looking for something similar to Paperbacks from Hell by Grady Hendrix, which I'm a big fan of. And this fell in my lap and I didn't even realize. I didn't know anything about her. I didn't know it was coming out. So this was really exciting. She used to kind of be all over the place reading, doing book reviews and things. And she sort of switched over to the moniker Mother Horror when she realized that she couldn't contain, there's too many horror books. She couldn't contain them all to like 1 month of the year or 3 months or even 6 months. So now this is kind of what she does.
I love it. I love horror left and right. That's what I seem to keep picking up. And Grady Hendrix, the paperback's just a fantastic book. Like,
yeah.
So if this is anything,
it's one of my it's one of my gospels to go through. With the Paperbacks from Hell, the problem, granted, because it came out, it's gotten a lot more popular, and there's been a lot of reissues. So I have managed to track down quite a few. But originally, you couldn't find the books. That was part of it. It was the scavenger hunt to try to find the books. Where Sadie is now doing books that are strictly from, I read through the introduction. I'm holding off to Read an Ebook Day to like really get into it. But I mean, I'm excited, but she's doing things from the year 2000 to present. So she's doing modern horror. So this should all be stuff that should be hopefully readily, easily found. She's also staying away from big names. Like in the introduction, she mentions there won't be anything by Stephen King. She loves Stephen King. She figures everyone does, and they already have their favorites. So she did some indie authors and some like probably more well-known amongst people who, you know, really enjoy horror. So I'm looking forward to how she breaks them down, how she breaks them out, how she categorizes them, and just getting some lists to load up my TBR list. It's going to be a long winter. I'm going to have a lot of books on that list.
Hey, and that's okay. And you're going to get through it with some great horror reads. Do you find yourself gravitating to a lot of anthologies like this for recommendations?
Well, it wasn't until Paperbacks from Hell and now this that I even knew that those kind of things existed. I still am a big fan of anthologies in general, the short horror stories, partially because of my attention span and partially because it's a good way to get a taste of like what an author's like. So there's been many authors that I've gone and sought out their novels or their bigger books based on something that I found in one of the, you know, the anthologies. So it's a good way to kind of get a flavor for, is this the kind of writing that I like? Is this the kind of thing that I want to, you know, read more of? And Yeah, I've found plenty.
And I love this kind of like literary road trip guide to, you might like this one and this is why.
Right.
Well, Chuck, thank you for joining us today and sharing what you'll be reading on Read an eBook Day.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'll definitely have to check this out too, and we can talk what books we liked from the 101.
Okay, that's a deal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey nerds, I'm Sarah, the paper nerd, and if you've ever wondered what goes into that greeting card you just sent or received, well, quite a lot. Get your paper fix on the Paperfold, where I host an enchanting mix of personalities and players all nerding out on my favorite topic, stationery. From the designs of our snail mail communications to the precious space created when two people correspond, there's a lot to cover. So come grab a seat in the stationery community's only 5-star paper salon, the Paperfold, now part of the Evergreen Podcast Network.
Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So we are super excited to hear what you're planning to read for Read an eBook Day.
I'm excited about what I'm going to read because it's basically all I want to do is read this book. It is Tom Lake by Ann Patchett.
Yay.
The audiobook is narrated by Meryl Streep, so I'm going to have to listen to the audiobook, obviously, when I'm done.
Yeah.
But I'm reading the book right now, and it is just absolutely gorgeous. It's a story about a family whose 3 daughters come home during the pandemic from college and their careers to help their parents pick sweet cherries on a cherry orchard in Michigan. And as they're picking the cherries and trying to get the harvest ready, they are asking their mom about a summer that she spent at an acting kind of like little resort where they put on these plays in Tom Lake, Michigan, where she dated and spent the summer with a now super duper famous actor named Duke. And so it's kind of about, you know, past lives and how our parents were full people before they had us and the interesting experiences that we have and how every little decision can affect your life in so many different ways. And it is just gorgeous.
It's so true. I just started this one actually because I think maybe you said you were reading it or we're going to start it or something. And so I was like, I'm going to pick this up. This book is so hot right now.
Yes.
And it's so good.
It is. It's so good. And it's just, Ann Patchett is, I think, an absolute genius. And the way that she writes characters, she really knows her demo. She knows, you know, a certain audience of Midwestern white people that, are very relatable to me. That's how I was raised. And she just writes them really well. And the character development is great. And I think it has a little something for everyone. It's just kind of an interesting book. And I kind of like the narrative structure too.
And I saw Joe's eyes light up when you said that the audiobook is narrated by Queen Meryl. So I think that is huge incentive for folks to check it out as well.
Yes. I also didn't realize Meryl Streep has like a long run as a narrator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Chrysanthemum from Kevin Hanks.
Yes. My
in 1998. Like, what?
Yep. That was one of the first like Love Yourself books that I remember reading as a kid.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is truly great. It also reads really quickly. It's literary in that it's written beautifully and, you know, it's just really well put together, but it also moves quickly, which is, I also appreciate.
That sounds wonderful. And I appreciate that as well, because I don't read a ton of literary fiction because I'm like intimidated by it, but this is good. Like it goes at a quick pace.
Yes.
So I feel like I won't give up on it because I'm too interested in what's happening.
Yes. I think this is like a perfect, like dip your toe into literary fiction because you're staying for the story.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Jane, for talking to us about Tom Lake.
Of course.
Maria, welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So glad you could be here. What are you going to read on Read an eBook Day?
So I'll probably be reading a couple things, but I've been reading An Immense World by Ed Yong, so some nonfiction. I think I will still be reading this because it's kind of like one of those nonfiction books that is set up in a way that you can read like a little section at a time and not and put it down for like a few days or a week and like come back and you don't feel lost, which I really appreciate.
Yes.
Because sometimes it takes me a while to finish nonfiction. But this is a book about and basically how it kind of reveals a lot about the world around us, and also how like as people we tend to look at everything from like a visual, like a strong visual sense because our eyes are very good, but just like learning about how other species interact with the world through their senses. And it's super interesting. And it's he's a funny writer. Like he does like end notes or some of like the comparisons are like very like fun and relevant and make me like chuckle sometimes. And I read it so far. But again, I will probably still be reading it because it's nice because I can just read it in little sections.
I love the chance to be able to like step away from nonfiction for a minute. Mm-hmm. So that's really appealing because I love a nonfiction title here and there.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can, and it's almost designed to like take a break, step away, flip back over to your usual.
Yeah. 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 And specifically on Libby, I like that. I love an endnote, but mm-hmm. I'm also like, you know, when I'm reading print, I specifically love a footnote because then I don't have to turn back and forth. Right. But This one has endnotes for each chapter, and they're really interesting and like relevant. And you want to read all of them, of course. But you can just like press the endnote in Libby and it goes to it. And then you press it again and it goes back. And I'm like, oh my God. Wow.
The future
what
is
a
now.
Lifesaver.
I know, because I will read a whole nonfiction book and be like, I guess I'll read all the end notes now at the end, because it's great. It's such a pain if it's physical to go back and forth, but being able to just like, mm-hmm. boop, boop. Yeah, love it.
Yes, that has been a game changer for me, like staying into like and getting into this book for sure. So yeah, I recommend it. It's going to be fun. It's fun. It's very fun.
That's awesome.
I feel like that's the perfect example of why the hashtag for Read an eBook Day, hashtag eBook Love, applies to this situation. Sometimes digital is just better.
Honestly, yes, in this case. Yeah.
In this case. Thank you so much, Maria.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. Happy Read an eBook Day, everybody.
Happy Read an eBook Day.
Yay!
Megan, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello, hello. Nice to be here.
Always good to have you here. Would you tell us what you're reading for Read an eBook Day?
Well, first, I just want to say Read an eBook Day is my dad's birthday. So in case he's listening to this, happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday.
Yay. And now then to swing wildly to a book that he would not like at all. And that I wouldn't want to discuss with him much anyway. I will be reading, finally, Fall of Ruin and Wrath on Read an eBook Day by
exciting.
Jennifer L. Armentrout of, you know, the From Blood and Ash series, a million series. And I was, you know, lucky enough to get a preview copy of this, but it turned out to just be like the first few chapters and I was really cranky. So I have been waiting to read this book for months, which is not something the spoiled baby that I am used to doing. So I am really excited. So it comes out on September 12th. So just in time for Read an eBook Day. And it's romantasy. For those of you who might not be familiar with Armentrout, that is her wheelhouse. And it's a brand new universe, brand new series. So if you haven't read any of her other books, you're good. You're fine. They doesn't build on each other. But this is a world where, of course, there was a catastrophic event, some kind of apocalyptic thing. And some people survived and a lot of people didn't. And those that kind of survived unscathed are now viewed as gods who feed off of human pleasure. That is how they survive. So everything from a smile to things that are a little more steamy, which is something that these books excel in. And so we kind of focus on, I'm assuming it's Callista or it could be Callista. I'm not sure because I've only read the book. I've read a snippet of the book. And she can kind of see the future. So she is a seer and is in the employ of one of these godlike creatures. And of course she has her own backstory, and there is her own protagonist who is morally gray per Armand Trout, which I love on the page. I hate in real life, but give me a morally gray hero all day, as long as I don't have to actually meet him, because not interested, but I'm very, very excited to read this. So yay.
Love that point on a morally gray character where you're like, yeah, let's keep it to the characters, not to the people.
I'm glad you mentioned this book. I am also eagerly awaiting for this book to be out in the world. And I always appreciate more romantasy-esque recommendations on the pod. So I'm excited for this.
Anytime. So yeah, if you gobbled up Fourth Wing, give this a try. Now, if you're a Sarah J. Maas, give this a try. But yeah, it's gonna be good. I'm throwing that out there into the universe. It's gonna be good. The first snippet I read was great. So fingers crossed.
So the rest, yeah, gotta be good. Well, thank you, Megan. Happy reading on Read an eBook Day.
Thank you. You too.
Andrea, welcome. What are you reading for Read an eBook Day?
Well, it depends on which book comes in first from Libby, because they're both on hold. So that is up to whomever has Bring Me Your Midnight and Divine Rivals out currently.
I totally feel that. Do you want to tell us a little bit about both of them, just in case you end up reading both of them?
So Bring Me Your Midnight is by Rachel Griffin. She writes a lot of witchy books. And I originally did not have this on my list at all to read, but then she did a signing or something, whatever, and said that she was inspired by Gomez and Morticia Adams. And I was like, well, say no more.
You can't get more perfect than that.
Right? Like, that's the couple goal. So Tana Fairchild's fate has never been in question. Her life has been planned out since the moment she was born. She is to marry the governor's son, Landon, and secure an unprecedented alliance between the witches of her island home and the mainlanders, who see her very existence as a threat. Tana's coven has appeased those who fear their power for years by releasing most of their magic into the ocean during the full moon. But when Tana misses the midnight ritual, a fatal mistake, there is no one she can turn to for help until she meets Wolf. Wolf claims he's from a coven that practices dark magic, making him one of the only people who can help her. But he refuses to let Tana's power rush into the sea and instead teaches her the forbidden magic, a magic that has made her feel powerful and alive. So she has to choose between love and duty and loyalty and to her people and loyalty to her heart.
As you usually do.
I mean, that's my daily struggle.
Oh, this looks so good. And the cover is so pretty. I notice it every time. They're so good.
Too perfect.
Too perfect. So there's that one. And speaking of great covers, Divine Rivals is also a beautiful cover. So this one, also a little bit magical. There's a theme. So after centuries of sleep, the gods are warring again. Between 8-year-old Iris Winnow just wants to hold her family together. Mother is suffering from addiction and her brother is missing on the front lines. Her best bet is to win the columnist promotion at the Oath Gazette. To combat her worries, Iris writes letters to her brothers and slips them beneath her wardrobe door, where they vanish into the hands of Roman Kit, her cold and handsome rival at the paper. When he honestly writes Iris back, the two of them forge a connection that will follow Iris all the way to the front lines of battle for her brother, the fate of mankind, and love. And it says here, an epic enemies to lovers fantasy, which tell me no more.
What more could you need?
This looks so good. And I keep hearing about it.
I feel like it's everywhere right now. So I've heard a lot about it too. I've heard the ending though will wreck you. And I've heard someone even said, if I have to suffer, you're all going to suffer with me. So I am very nervous, but going into it knowing that my heart might be shredded.
Okay. But it will be worth it.
It'll be worth it. And there's a sequel. So I just have to focus on the fact that there's more. So
That is the true life of a book lover. I have to read it. I have to get through and I have to know what's coming next.
I have to know what's coming. I have to be on the bathroom floor just heaving sobs.
Sobbing. Why did they do that?
It'll be fine. There's a sequel.
It can't be too bad.
Although, do we know if it's a duology or if there's more?
I think it's a duology.
Okay.
So Ruthless Vows is the next one, and it says the epic conclusion. So it is a duology.
Okay. So,
not
so even
too,
better.
Right. Not That's too better, much though. To invest in.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my possible reads for Read New Book Day.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Andrea.
You're welcome.
Well, here's a voice you may all recognize. Jill, welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Glad you're here.
Me too. Me too. This is always one of my favorite episodes.
Right.
Just to find out what everyone's listening to reading for Read New Book Day.
Right. You get like a rapid fire list of recommendations and just a taste of what we all gravitate toward.
Sure do. Sure do.
So speaking of, what are you reading for Read an eBook Day?
So for Read an eBook Day, I'm going to be reading Yellow Face by R.F. Kuang. I just finished Babel the other day and it was amazing. Like one of the best books I've ever read. And I'm really excited to dive into her latest book. So Yellow Face is about two author classmates. June is white and Athena is Chinese and American and an industry darling. After Athena dies, this is not a spoiler, it's in the book description, June steals Athena's manuscript and passes it off as her own while also adopting an Asian pen name. The book under this new pen name does really well, but soon folks start to ask questions about the authenticity of June's claims regarding her Asian American identity. Kuang navigated like similar issues related to race and language and power in Babel, but that was set in 1830. So I'm excited to see how she tackles these topics and issues in a contemporary novel like Yellowface.
That's really exciting, especially right with her familiarity when it wasn't so much of the conversation, to see how she is navigating such intense topics today.
Right. Agreed.
Well, that'll be exciting. Oh, Jill, it's always so good to have you back.
Yeah, anytime. You know that.
Hi, Lynn. Welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what are you going to be reading on Read an eBook Day?
I'm very excited to be reading Fugitive Telemetry by Martha Wells. It's not the newest title. It was released in 2021. However, it is going to be continuing the action, the action continues with System Collapse, which comes out this November. So rereading Fugitive Telemetry and one of the other previous installments of the Murderbot series, Network Effect, is prepping me for System Collapse in November. So there's so much that I love about this Murderbot series. There's just so much to tell. Murderbot is a security unit that is a robotic unit. It's artificially intelligent. However, this particular sec unit has gone rogue. It has named itself Murderbot. It has hacked its own control module. And so it has been kind of stealth acting in its role while having awareness. So it's a unique sort of protagonist to have. Because it is artificial life, It has gloriously candid and confused assessments of what humans are doing and what they're acting like and, you know, what their motivations are. Because it's artificial life, it's a genderless protagonist, so everyone can imagine what they might look like. The series, in general, deals with civil rights, body autonomy, and sentience, because the artificially intelligent life forms, like Murderbot, are not considered members of society, and so they're treated like slaves, servants, and some lower, you know, lifeless lower caste. There are augmented humans that are in society, which are biological units, biologically produced humans or humanoids that have mechanically augmented body parts. They are considered members of society because Murderbot is formed and shaped and has a physical appearance like a human. Murderbot engages in passing and code switching to blend in as an augmented human, and therefore is passing as a consultant on the research team at Preservation Station. So if anybody's interested in this series at all, Fugitive Telemetry is a great place to start because it's a standalone novella. Martha Wells is very great at introducing the characters into a place where they fit in the entire story arc. And Fugitive Telemetry was the one that got me started with the Murderbot series. So all the volumes are short in duration. So if you're looking for a short audiobook to listen to, it's a great, great series to get into. And I suppose file under too much sharing, I really identify with Murderbot quite a lot in having to talk with humans.
This is fantastic. I was going to ask, because this is a 4-book, soon to be 5-book series, a novella is a really great way to get into it and kind of dip your toe into the waters. But would you say all of the books in the series fall shorter?
They're all rather short reads. So okay. I want to say that they're all like 150 pages if you're looking at book format. So, but there's so much that is jam-packed into each volume. It's one of these, Martha Wells writes in a way where you have to look at each word she puts in because she chooses her language very carefully to relay the tone and the sarcasm. It's not something that you can skim through, but you don't want to. You want to savor every word that she puts into it.
That's amazing. I usually get intimidated by sci-fi to a degree because, right, I'm used to it being densely packed with so much that you're just like, do I want to dive into a multi-book series? But hearing they're short, it's all very intentional language. That's exciting. Thank you for sharing, Lynn.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to share with us.
Hi, Jenna. Welcome.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Glad you're here. Can you tell me what you'll be reading for Read an eBook Day?
Yes. So I will actually be reading a brand new release. It comes out on September 5th. And that is Holly by Stephen King. So if you are a Stephen King aficionado, you will know that Holly Gibney is actually a reoccurring character from the Bill Hodges trilogy. But what's awesome about this release is while it is a reoccurring character, it's a standalone novel. It's her very first novel. So anybody can jump into it. So I'll just read a little synopsis here, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so Holly is a detective. She works for Finders Keepers Detective Agency. Her partner Pete has COVID. Her mother has just died, and Holly's not even supposed to be working. She's supposed to be on leave. But she receives a phone call from somebody called Penny Doll. And something in Penny Doll's voice makes it impossible for Holly to turn her down. So blocks from where Bonnie Doll disappeared live Professors Rodney and Emily Harris. They're the picture of respectability, married octogenarians devoted to each other and semi-retired lifelong academics. But they're harboring an unholy secret in the basement of their well-kept book-lined home, one that may be related to Bonnie's disappearance. And it will prove nearly impossible to discover what they are up to. They're savvy, patient, ruthless people. So Holly has to summon all of her talents to outthink and maneuver these shockingly twisted professors. So that is the basic summary, and it's a king, so hook, line, sinker, I am in.
It sounds so good, and new Stephen King is always great, but also to see him turn like a recurring character and give them their own series is really exciting.
Yes, he even like quoted, he's like, I could never let Holly Gibney go. So it was just one of those little characters that he just held on to, and he's like, you know what? She's getting her own novel, and I'm so here for it.
No, that's so exciting. A perfect treat for reading ebook day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Jenna.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Joe. Thank you for having me.
What are you going to be reading on Read an Ebook Day?
So this year on Read an Ebook Day, I'm very excited to read The Breakaway by Jennifer Weiner.
Exciting.
I'm excited to read this book because it's about a woman who was assigned the task of leading a bicycle group from New York City to Niagara Falls, I believe. And I'm very excited about this because I love to ride my bicycle, honestly. As simple as that sounds, I think that riding a bicycle is about as much freedom as you could feel as an adult, especially when, you know, with a full-time job and a child. And I'm really excited to see how she's able to bring that sense of excitement to the book.
I love that. That's such a good way to look at it, because you're right. Like, it's the thing from childhood that no one thinks twice about when you do it as an adult. If you are into cycling, you know, on a Peloton, out in the open world, whatever it is, people support it. So what a fun title.
I thought it was a great title as well.
Well, thank you for sharing, and hopefully you have a fun time reading in the Overdrive coffee shop.
Oh, I will. Oh my gosh. Yes, with some espresso.
Exactly.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. So we've asked everyone what they are reading for Read an Ebook Day, but Emma, now I'm going to ask you, what are you reading for Read an Ebook Day?
I am so glad you asked. I am going to read None of This is True by Lisa Jewell. This book came out in August of this year, so not that long ago. And I've really fallen in love with her books and her writing style. I just think she writes a really, really good psychological thriller. So her newest book, let's dive right into the description. Celebrating her 45th birthday at her local pub, popular podcaster Alex Summer crosses paths with an unassuming woman called Josie Fair. Josie, it turns out, is also celebrating her 45th birthday. They are, in fact, birthday twins. A few days later, Alex and Josie bump into each other again, this time outside Alex's children's school. Josie has been listening to Alex's podcasts and thinks she might be an interesting subject for her series. She is, she tells Alex, on the cusp of great changes in her life. Josie's life appears to be strange and complicated, and although Alex finds her unsettling, she can't quite resist the temptation to keep making the podcast. Slowly, she starts to realize that Josie has been hiding some very dark secrets, and before she knows it, Josie has inveigled her way into Alex's life and into her home. But as quickly as she arrived, Josie disappears. Only then does Alex discover that Josie has left a terrible and terrifying legacy in her wake, and that Alex has become the subject of her own true crime podcast, with her life and her family's lives under mortal threat. Who is Josie Fair, and what has she done?
That Come on. So good and so creepy.
So creepy. I do enjoy podcast mentions, true crime, the tie-in. And I just really love her writing style. So I expect nothing less than a twisty, fast-paced thriller here. So that is None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell.
I don't think I've read any Lisa Jewell yet, but I'm going to have to. Yeah, I know. Your shock is correct. I've seen her name all over the... Like, you said it.
You may have.
I may have, but I don't know.
She's been writing for very long, like not a very, no, I know. A very long time.
Like I remember shelving her books back in the day. Mm-hmm. I feel like Lisa Jewell and Lisa Scottline are the Lisas that stick out in my brain because their covers always like...
are very distinctive.
Yeah, they like strike into my brain, but I guess I just didn't know she wrote psychological thriller, which is perhaps my favorite. Mm-hmm. Of the thriller genres, a little bit of a psychological twist.
Yeah. So you have to read Lisa Jewell, but what are you reading for Read Any Book Day?
Lisa Jewell. So I am going back into my TBR and pulling out a book that I have been meaning to read since I want to say July of last year. Yeah, July of 2022. I will be reading The Pallbearers Club by Paul Tremblay. After our convo with Rachel and Clay, I was so inspired to actually get back into his books. So what if the coolest girl you've ever met decided to be your friend? Art Barbara was so not cool. He was a 17-year-old high school loner in the late 1980s who listened to hair metal, had to wear a monstrous back brace at night for his scoliosis, and started an extracurricular club for volunteer pallbearers at poorly attended funerals. But his new friend thought the Pallbearers Club was cool, and she brought along her Polaroid camera to take pictures of the corpses. Okay, that part was a little weird. So was her obsessive knowledge of a notorious bit of New England folklore that involved digging up the dead. And there were other strange things, terrifying things that happened when she was around, usually at night. But she was his friend, so it was okay, right? Decades later, Art tries to make sense of it all by writing The Pallbearers Club, a memoir. But somehow this friend got her hands on the manuscript and, well, she has some issues with it. And now she's making cuts. Seamlessly blurring the lines between fiction and memory, the supernatural and the mundane, The Pallbearers Club is an immersive, suspenseful portrait of an unusual and disconcerting relationship. So that is The Pallbearers Club by Paul Tremblay. And yeah, I'm excited to pick this one up. You know, I've been on a bit of a horror kick right now because we're in that fun transitional time where I'm like, it's still too early for spooky season, but it is also simultaneously spooky season.
Yeah, so it's like we're sort of gently shifting gears back into fall.
Correct.
Yay. That sounds fantastic.
I know. Truly, every time I have been looking for a book, I go, why haven't I read this yet?
Too much to read, so little time.
Accurate. Painfully so.
So with all of these recommendations, hopefully you have some inspiration for what to read on Read Any Book Day. We would love to hear what you are reading to celebrate. So be sure to tag us at ProBookNerds on Instagram or Twitter and use the hashtag eBookLove.
We can't wait to hear from you. Happy reading!
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode on overdrive.com or in Libby. Our library friends can purchase these titles in Marketplace. Professional Book Nerds is proud to be an Evergreen Podcast signature program. To learn about other Evergreen podcasts, visit evergreenpodcasts.com. Our podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Emma Dwyer and Joe Skelly and presented by Overdrive. To learn more, visit professionalbooknerds.com.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.